Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Stanley Watch program. The world looks at the Freedom Convoy in Canada, those truckers who are demonstrating against coronavirus restrictions, and the world looks at Prime Minister Trudeau and his reaction, his response to those demonstrations. Of course, Mr. Trudeau is fighting for his political survival. But what is it that makes him tick? How does he think? What does he believe? What does he stand for? I found it fascinating. I recently saw a television program where a certain comparison was drawn and where the public, the audience, was reminded of Mr. Trudeau's reaction to the death of Fidel Castro. I'd like to go back to that statement which he uttered on November 26, 2016. This is what he said and this is what he wrote. "It is with deep sorrow that I learned today of the death of Cuba's longest-serving president. Fidel Castro was a larger-than-life leader who served his people for almost half a century. A legendary revolutionary and orator, Mr. Castro made significant improvements to the education and health care of his island nation. While a controversial figure, both Mr. Castro's supporters and detractors recognized his tremendous dedication and love for the Cuban people, who had a deep and lasting affection for him. I know my father was very proud to call him a friend. On behalf of all Canadians, Sophie and I offer our deepest condolences to the family, friends, and many, many supporters of Mr. Castro. We join the people of Cuba today in mourning the loss of this remarkable leader." Now, in response to Mr. Justin Trudeau's statement, the New York Times, which is by no means a conservative paper, wrote this on November 26, 2016. "Justin Trudeau's affectionate comments were a radical departure from American reactions to Mr. Castro's death. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, who is Cuban-American, called the Canadian leader's remarks shameful and embarrassing. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, another Cuban-American, said Mr. Trudeau's statement was disgraceful and accused him of slobbering adulation of Mr. Castro. In Canada, several members of the opposition Conservative Party condemned Mr. Trudeau's statement." And then we have the editorial board of the Washington Post, another most certainly not conservative paper, writing this about Mr. Castro's legacy on November 26, 2016. "Fidel's Cuba boasted a previously unknown degree of sovereign separation from the United States. Under his rule, too, Cuban public health and literacy indicators were significantly better than those of many other Latin American states. For those quote-unquote achievements, however, the Cuban people paid a terrible price. Castro's political repression reached an extreme. It began with mass summary executions of Batista officials and soon progressed to systematic, block-by-block surveillance of the entire citizenry, repeated purges, complete with show trials and executions of the ruling party, and punishment for dissident artists, writers, and journalists. Mr. Castro's regime learned from the totalitarian Soviet Union. Castro himself did by far the lion's share of damage, impoverishing the island through a program of total state control." And then we have this statement by Amnesty International, again, not necessarily a conservative organization, writing on November 26. "The state of freedom of expression in Cuba, where activists continue to face arrest and harassment for speaking out against the government, is Fidel Castro's darkest legacy. Over more than five decades documenting the state of human rights in Cuba, Amnesty International has recorded a relentless campaign against those who dare to speak out against the Cuban government's policies and practices. Over the years, the organization has documented hundreds of stories of prisoners of conscience, people detained by the government solely, and now listen carefully, for peacefully exercising their right to freedom of expression, association, and assembly. Does this ring any bells? Now, another comment from the internet has this to say. Ideology, a Marxist, Leninist, and Cuban nationalist, Castro also served as the first secretary of the Communist Party of Cuba from 1961 until 2011. Under his administration, Cuba became a one-party communist state. Industry and business were nationalized, and state socialist reforms were implemented throughout society. Now let's compare this with Trudeau's Canada of today. The Daily Mail wrote on January 30, 2022. Trudeau said Friday that the truckers' views, which he described as anti-science, anti-government, and anti-society, posed a risk not only to themselves, but also to other Canadians as well. Mr. Trudeau also said that you're only a Canadian if you are vaccinated. If you are not vaccinated, you are not a Canadian, in his view. The Ron Paul Institute wrote on February 5, Trudeau only has two options. One, give in to the truckers' demands, or two, attempt to remove them by force. There's already talk about bringing in the military. Imagine what an unholy mess that would be. Odds are the military would disobey his orders, and if not, the world would be treated to the spectacle of full-blown new normal fascism in action. Either way, Trudeau is history, as long as the truckers stand their ground. Now, Breitbart added on February 9, Trudeau has repeatedly insisted he would not listen to any calls for lifting the mandates and restoring normal life to Canada. He has accused the protesters of racism and misogyny and equated them with Nazis in a statement in Parliament on Monday. The interim leader of the Conservative Party, Candace Bergen, asked Trudeau if he would consider ending restrictions once again. This cannot be a slow and dragged-out process simply because of the Prime Minister's ego, pride, or denial, Bergen said. But it's more than just talk by Trudeau. It's more than just his ego and his pride. You see, he is driven by a political agenda. And under his rule, and due to his influence, his propaganda, note what has been happening in Canada. And think in terms of what I read about Cuba earlier on this program. The Blaze wrote on February 6, a Canadian judge ruled that an unvaccinated father cannot see his three children because he refused to get vaccinated against COVID-19 and that he would lose custody of his children. In December, another Canadian father lost custody of his 12-year-old child after a judge ruled that it was in the child's best interest to bar the dad from seeing his child since he was unvaccinated. And now notice to this report by Rebel News, dated February 9. Calgary's renegade pastor, Artur Pawlowski, the guy from Poland, was taken into custody the fifth time in less than 2 years for the very serious criminal charges of mischief. His crime was attempting to travel to the border blockade by truckers and farmers in Alberta. Art Pawlowski has been a thorn in the side of the pro-lockdown politicians, including, of course, and especially Mr. Trudeau, and also the public health deep state, since the first COVID ticket for an illegal public gathering, feeding the homeless on a bitterly cold Calgary winter day. Got a ticket for that. Since then, he has been ticketed, summoned, investigated, subjected to secret court orders, arrested, fined, jailed, and slapped with a compelled speech order that requires him to give the government's official media talking points when making a public statement about the lockdown. Now, Pawlowski said he was interrogated about who the leaders of those truckers are, the blockade, and said his speech telling truckers last week to hold the line is the reason the cops nabbed him in front of his house this morning in front of his stunned family. Now, do we see any connection between Mr. Trudeau's admiration for Fidel Castro and Castro's politics and what is happening in Canada right now under Mr. Trudeau's leadership? You, my friends, connect the dots. Until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.